Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This will be Luke Jones's summer getaway. But before we go away, we got to talk some baseball. And while he's away, we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour twice just to get even for all the pizza he's going to be eating in Wildwood. We'll be at Deep Pasquale's in Canton on Tuesday. Really looking forward to that. Joe Giordano is going to join us early in the morning. Joe and Dominica, like the folks that run the joint are going to be there. Darren's going to bring me sausage. Pete Carinci has threatened to bring the soccer hooligans from Island Town up. And also, Dan Roderick's going to come by. We're going to talk about Italian food and Portuguese food and probably wine and, I don't know, journalism, something like that. Also on Thursday afternoon, we will be at Costas and Timonium for the very first time at the new racetrack location in the grandstand. And I'll be getting the Crab Imperial something, something, and probably some oysters. I will not be betting at the OTB, but you can. And I am betting on Johnny O joining us, our congressman, as well as at 2 p.m. Steve Rouse is going to be coming by, old legendary morning show host who I've never chatted with, or I was never on their show and they were never on my show. Did 98 Rock a lot, never did QSR. Now 105.7 The Fan. So this guy here, I'm a fan of his. He's a fan of New Jersey beaches. At some point he can explain to me how I wound up in Wildwood and not Ocean City. I have no idea, but he'll be gone next week. And just in time, dude, I was thinking about this as I was getting my Zeke's coffee here this morning, getting ready for Resig and I to do the breakfast thing later on in the month with other deposed and fired cartoonists of the Baltimore Sun. I was thinking I need a week off from baseball. You know, I was thinking about this after the game. I was thinking I might not watch a whole lot of the Mets next week or the Marlins. I don't know. I say that, and then my wife said, what time do the Orioles play? That's not exactly how she says it. She has another word for them that she uses. But I don't know, man. You don't watch baseball when you're gone, right? Like, you're going to take off. Please tell me you're not going to watch a last-place awful team next week. Please tell me you're just off.
I will check the scores, and that's about it. I mean, if something special is happening, like – if there's something where someone has a chance to hit three home runs or there's a no hitter or something like that, I'll bring it up on my phone if it's something.
Oh my
like
God.
That.
You better give me the codes for the WNST text. Cause they, you know, well, no hitter thing. You brought it up.
Yeah. Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's look, this team is what it is.
They didn't score again on Wednesday. Right. Dude.
And they didn't
score again.
And they got lousy starting pitching. I mean, Sagano's completely lost at this point in time. Right. I mean, it's,
well, he was always on the edge, and we talked about that from the beginning. He was going to have a charmed Scott McGregor life in order to, you know, not miss bats and in modern baseball and the fatigue part and the major league part and the heat part. I mean, there's just there's a lot going into it. Much like Suarez, my Venezuelan brother, you know, you get a little older. He had thrown over in the Asian League. Just there's a lot of innings, you know, just a lot of innings.
There is, and we talked about that. And look, let me be clear. This is not me saying that he can't figure it back out, but I'd be lying to you if I said I was completely shocked that we've seen this regression. Now, the last two starts have been extreme, right? He's given up 13 runs over the last two starts. That's on the extreme side, but it's what you just said. When you have someone, even with an assortment of six pitches, but you can't miss bats consistently, you just have such a small margin for error. And we talked about that back in April and May. And, you know, when he had a 3 ERA, I was giving him credit, but there was always going to be a time where the league figures you out. You have to be, first of all, very sharp with your command. And he hasn't been that, right? I mean, he hasn't been as sharp. It's not like he's walking a bunch of guys, but you're seeing that he's not dotting the catcher's glove when he was at his absolute best. So you have that. And, you know, you kind of look at pitch sequencing, tendencies, things of that nature, which is on him and the pitching coaches and the entire staff to kind of, you know, you need
well,
to
they're
change
first pitch swinging on him, right?
Well, I mean, they can be, but I mean, it's just, I mean, he even go back to when he gave up the 2-run single that turned it into a 5-0 game in the fourth inning. I mean, he had gotten 2 strikeouts, runners at second and third. Ezekiel Duran, the number 9 hitter, was up. And he couldn't get out of it, right? I mean, there's a situation.
He had 2 outs when he gave up the 3-run homer, too, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's just not good enough. I mean, it's not. And he'd be the first to tell you that. I mean, he's 35 years old. He's pitched for a long time. I'm sure he had periods of time in Japan when he struggled, right? I mean, that's baseball. So now
And he
it's,
might have been a better pitcher 7 years ago for
yeah,
stuff, right?
sure. And that's a natural expectation to have. So he's got to figure this out. And that doesn't mean he won't, but as we've kind of talked about with Zach Eflin, who's now on the IL, the clock's ticking. I mean, we're 4 weeks from the trade deadline. Is anyone going to even want Sagano at this point in time? I mean, that's the big question, right? So
Yeah,
he's
these guys might be coming back to pitch them in the fourth place in September or something, right?
I mean, it might that might be how it is. I mean, right now, and we've talked about this, the irony of their starting rotation. You think back to April, who were the biggest problems? Charlie Morton and Dean Kramer. Right now, I'd say those are the two guys who might have the most appeal from a trade deadline standpoint. Now,
Would you
Morton,
deal Kramer?
it's tough. I
You ain't
think it's
never said nothing about that. We talked a lot. You know,
I
you there are people killing me on Couser and half these
right.
other guys, but hey, I don't know. I'm wearing his hair today, by the way. I'm honoring Dean Kramer, so you can all see.
I think it's tough because, again, this is where we get into what do you want the Orioles to be next year? What do you want them to strive for? I would venture to argue, you know, I would be apt to argue that Dean Kramer probably is more valuable to the Orioles if you're talking about next year and the year after
You
that.
could
He's
do worse than have him on the team in
as
March.
your
You better have
as
somebody. You better have
and
somebody.
that's what I'm saying. I mean, if I, and let me be clear, if there's a team out there that loves Dean Kramer and they say, okay, we could use this guy now, and we're over the moon about the fact that he has 2 more years of club control, and we want to give the Orioles a really nice package for him. And don't get me wrong, I'm not being unrealistic here, but my point is, it's going to have to take a lot for me to part with Dean Kramer because he's got 2 more years of club control. And yes, he's not a number one, he's not a number two, he's not a number
He's
three.
the kind of pitcher they're trying to trade to get.
That's kind of my point. I mean, I've said this to you, and you know, it's somewhat facetious. I'm not saying this to be literal, but I kind of am from the standpoint of if they had five Dean Kramers right now, they'd be better than 12 games under 500. Right now, that doesn't mean they'd be in first place and
Yeah,
battling.
but you're also projecting Rutschman's hitting the ball and
Of
Westberg's healthy.
course,
You
of
know what I
course.
mean?
But the point is.
They could, you're right. They could win 90 games with five Dean Kramers
Well, that
and
was kind of
some
their
sort of
idea.
potentiality of what they're doing.
That was
I,
kind of
that's
their,
false advertising right
and
now,
that's
my
fine.
friend.
And that's fine. But I'm just saying that's how bad the rotation has been. So you're going to trade away someone else? I mean, who's going to be in your rotation next year? I mean, are you really going to add three or four starters? I'll buy two, maybe three,
If you're
but
selling me anybody into 2027 that's going to be 27, not next year,
sure.
2 years from now, that's going to be in a major league roster and contributing in a massive way, I'll take Henderson and Holiday. I'll take Westberg just because I like him. But all the rest of these guys are a bag of donuts to me. I mean, it is star. I mean, literally, they're just middling, midline players that from replacement value on statistically, Laureano's a better player than Couser or than any of these outfielders other than Stowers at this point. And I would say Dean Kramer, you'd love to do better, but what's it going to cost you to buy Dean Kramer? I keep going back to you want to buy pitching. I kind of want to finagle trading for pitching in some way. I think the stock's down across the board for almost everybody in their organization, not named Holiday and Henderson, right? Like, stock would be down to sell on anybody. The guys that you
Doesn't
still
sound like a
think
good time to trade then.
it's not.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
mean,
that's what
it's
I'm
just
saying.
not. It's not. And now it's a good time to fortify your number three starters and pray. And your plan is to spend money bags as money in the off season. Mine's to somehow figure out how you wound up with Corbin Burnes and Zach Eflin to begin with, right? And figure out and even Trevor Rogers, for as much as we've all hated that trade, right? At this point, he figures to be their number four starter on opening day next year, right? Kind of, sort of.
I mean, somewhere in there. I'm not really in the business right now of ranking these guys. To me, it's like, okay, Bradish should be there next year. Is it going to be number one starter Bradish? I have no idea, but he should be in that mix.
You want to put a stable together. I just want to put a floor in.
Well, sure,
I just
but
want to
aren't
build a floor in the house.
but isn't that kind of goes hand in hand though, isn't it? I mean, if give me five guys that I feel I can compete with, and then let them duke it out for who's the number one, the number two, the number three. And again, they're going to have to go get a couple guys, right? I mean, obviously, that's the captain obvious statement. So, but it's just, yeah, I mean, to answer your question with Kramer, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, there's no way I'd trade Dean Kramer. I'm not crazy. At the same time, I'm not trading him just for the sake of doing it because there is still value to what he brings. And I get it. Anyone listening to me like, ah, oh, Dean Kramer stinks. He's overrated. This guy's not a number one or number two. Agreed. Like, I don't think he stinks. I think he's a league average starting pitcher, which even
It's
really
going to
good
cost
teams.
them $18 million a year and a 3-year deal.
I mean, maybe not 18, but it's real money, right? It's
Chicago
real
cost
money.
them
Oh,
18.
but it's not a
Eflin's costing them 18.
but
All
Dean
these
Kramer.
guys are $20 million starters.
I mean, whether it's 20 or it's real money, right? I mean, we don't need to get into valuation because, we're just speaking in
Well, then
hypotheticals anyway, but.
we're going to go into payroll, and we're going to go into where extensions are for all the big guns because everybody wants them to give Holiday a quarter of a billion now. And like, I mean, and there's nobody at the stadium, and there's no revenue stream, and they're not selling Masson, and nobody beyond Legg Mason is lined up. They should call money bags over to M&T Bank, who I ran into last week, see if he can give some money. I don't know. I mean, for me, you are correct in that these pieces they had that might have gotten them a relief pitcher for next year, a complimentary outfielder, another Urias or Mateo. I'm just making that up. They don't need another catcher. They need one now. They're working on five for a last place team. But
Right.
you'd like to think between Bisaccia and Rutschman next year, they'd have a catcher. I don't think
Sure.
they should have to be thinking about that. So pitching. The draft's in 10 days, pitching. And where are they getting this? And you're right, they're gonna have to spend money on it one way or another. I mean, even if they acquire a deal, they're gonna have to spend money
Yeah.
because it's gonna be on somebody's docket because that's the way this works if you have pitching. But I'm with you, dude. Give me some 29, 30-year-old pitchers that are middling. Give me a couple of years ago's Ryan Gibbs, Kyle Gibson's, and maybe they can make that fly. But waiting on broken pitchers, waiting on Bradish, waiting on Rodriguez, Daddy ain't got no time for that patience. I'm not. I've sat around waiting for pitchers. No. I'm not
I
ready
mean,
to.
they're, but
I'm
they're
not
good.
ready to put Bradish or Rodriguez into my stable next March and say, those are two of my six. Those better be two of my 10.
I mean, okay. Honestly, you're way too pessimistic on Kyle Bradish right now. I mean, Tommy John surgery isn't what it was 40 years ago, man. I mean, like, and again, that's not me saying that he's going to be peak pre-injury, what, fourth in Cy Young voting, but. I don't think it's out of bounds to project Kyle Bradish as one of their five starting pitchers. I mean, I just don't. Now,
Okay.
Grayson Rodriguez, that's a different story, right? Because he's had these recurring lat injuries. They still haven't, according to how he spoke the last time, still hasn't fully identified what's causing it, in terms of whether it's something in his training regimen that he needs to do or stop doing or anything like that. So I'm with you on being
They're
more
poker
skeptical on
chips, though,
him.
right? But they're really not, I mean, right now, they're not.
And look,
Yeah.
and let me be clear in what I'm saying. I don't disagree with your overall premise as far as needing a stable of 9 or 10 arms. That's every team. And
Well,
in
they
fairness,
bet the organization on it in the offseason this year, and look at what happened.
but you know what? In a little bit of fairness, a
Fair.
little bit, they even their depth options got hurt,
A lot of
right?
guys got hurt,
Trevor
yes.
Rogers got hurt before spring training. Albert Suarez got hurt the first series of the
And
season.
Suarez was like
McDermott,
the durable guy,
yeah, I mean,
right?
Suarez was going to be the guy that was going to be the horse to come out of the pen in the sixth inning and bridge the gap. And if someone got hurt, he was probably going to move into the rotate. Right. So,
You called him a horse. I mean,
I mean,
literally,
he.
that's what we thought of him as a veteran
Sure.
pitcher. Yeah.
And again, this isn't me just completely excusing Mike Elias, but there was a plan in place for depth. We even talked about it. Remember, I even said that it was a bottom heavy rotation going into spring training because I felt like they had an assortment of number four, number five options that they were just kind of backfilling the rotation, and it didn't even work out that
Dude, if
way,
I go
right?
back to March 25th, or I go back to just you and me going up to Toronto for a couple of days, if I find the pieces of that, and I somewhere in there, because I'm a dick, ask anybody, I said,
It was
how
just
many
funny that you said
starts
that.
for Rodriguez? How many starts for this guy? And like McDermott and Povich in their mind, we're probably going to make 10 starts this year, 15 starts at the bottom
At
end
least
of the
Povich,
bottom
yeah.
end, right? That they thought that would be the thing. I think that they really believed that Charlie Morton had 27 starts in him. I think they believed that Sagano had 30 starts in him. I think they absolutely believed that Eflin had 32 starts in him.
Yeah.
And that's how you start to pencil this in. And when you start to work it backward and you start to fill in this kid they brought up this week and fed him to DeGrom,
Trae Young, yeah.
like who still will be starting games in
Sure.
August and September if Sagano gets a shutdown or Eflin doesn't come back and just says, I'm not coming back for a last place team. Pay me my $17 million. Let me walk. I'm going to try to get right and catch on with the Giants next year for $8 million. I mean, that's how this cyclical pitching and these taxi rides we take. That when I run into Jim Palmer once in a generation, which I did, and he's talking Cuellar and Dobson and McNally and Starts and McGregor and Flanagan and Boddicker and Stone and Davis and just down the line of Martinez. I mean, all these guys that made 20, 28, 32 starts a year for chunks of 3, 4, 5, 8 years at a time. I don't know what to bet on, and I would say that if I were having the third beer with Elias, I'd say you got a tough freaking job, and Palmer would tell you that if Flanagan were alive, because this is the it's as unpredictable as the President of the United States.
I mean, it's not easy, but you've got to figure it out, right? I mean, he failed this past offseason. I mean, what they tried to do didn't work, and they had bad injury luck on top of that, right? The injuries have always been a big part of where they are right now. It is. It's not an excuse, it's a reality. I mean, they've had what 24 different guys on the IL this year. This is like the Ravens back in 2021, or go back to the Ravens in 2015. You do get to a point where next man up is a t-shirt slogan, and that's it, right? I mean, you get to a threshold with that. Now, that said, it would be convenient to say that that's all it is, because it's not. It's not even close to being the only issue with this team, because we've talked about it. I mean, Wednesday night's a perfect example. Yes, yeah, Sagano was bad, but they got shut out, right? I mean, we've seen their offense underperform to a dramatic degree, even when they've had the bulk of their guys that they're counting on in the lineup.
And
So,
they're on their fifth catcher throwing the ball into
sure,
right field.
right. I mean, their defense has been poor. We've talked about all of these different things. So, you need to parcel it out the best way you can, and we're going to see what's going to happen at the trade deadline. And maybe this is where we can transition into the one piece of good news from the day, which was Ryan O'Hearn being the
I'm
starting
sorry we
DH.
skipped the
No,
lead
it's
on
okay.
that,
No, it's okay. Because Ryan O'Hearn is someone that at this point in time, and I'm not saying that you're going to get a blockbuster return for him, but I think you can get a nice piece or two for him. And you're going to
Let him
send
go
him.
win the home run derby he was Monday
You're,
night. Let him go showcase, baby. Come on.
and give him a chance to go win for someone else. I mean, he's
He's going to get
anyone.
paid too at the end of this kind
He's
of
going to get.
year, right?
I mean, it's not. It's tough because, he
Dude,
is.
he was out of baseball. He was a bum. He was no good. He right
Well, think
all of
about
that,
this.
right? Like,
Yeah, but well, think about it. The Orioles acquired him for cash. They DFA'd him 3 days later. This was the offseason prior to 2023. It was that January, late December, January, whatever it was. They acquired him for cash. They DFA'd him. A couple days later, they outrighted him to Norfolk. He had a good spring training, didn't make the club out of spring training, went to Norfolk. And then the Orioles called him up in mid-April, something like that. And he's been very productive for them ever since. So it's a great story. Happy for him as
you're a
much as
baseball nerd. Were you aware of him as a Royal, right?
I mean, yeah, a little bit, but he wasn't like a he was it's not like he was a top 10 pick or anything like that. I mean, he was a guy that they had hopes for and had flashed. I think if you go back and look at his rookie season in a limited sample, he put up some numbers where you say, "Hey, like who's this kid?" But he just like a lot of guys, and this is, going back to what you mentioned about Kyle Stowers. This is why I'm so bullish on playing Kobe Mayo and letting this kid play and let him figure it out and all of that. And that's going to be part of this too, when they presumably trade some guys, that you're going to open up some runway to play Kobe Mayo or Samuel Bisaio when they call him up in August, let's say.
Well, the season's pissed away, right? Like with
Sure.
every one of these shutouts in Dallas, it's pissed away.
Absolutely.
And, once that happens, it becomes every man for himself. And that's where we talked for an hour earlier this week, and people hear it over the 4th of July about Elias saving his job. I even talked, my wife and I went to Coco's the other night, had some Coco shrimp. By the way, that bow thing they have with the blueberry barbecue, insane. Get the Coco's. Not this weekend. They're down on Friday and Saturday. Go to the Heritage Fair, but get the Coco's. But I was in the car and I said to my wife, I said, I fired Elias on the air today. She said, what? I said, yeah, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I don't feel any leadership.
I
I'd
hear
fire Katie Griggs. I'd fire all of them. I mean, Mr. Moneybags wants to fix the place. Come see me during the off season. I'll bring a front office in. I'll bring some people in to care about the community. I'll bring some people in to fix the team, let alone fix the baseball team. That's a whole other story altogether. And I guess in my mind, he's going to rely on Ripken. Ripken's going to get blamed for this, for better or worse. And I know Maroon doesn't like hearing that, and Cal doesn't want to be responsible for anything. Honestly, it's part of the gig for the last 25 years is, hey man, don't make me pick the baseball guy. Then it's my name's on it, and I'm in it, and I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be on Nestor's show talking about what we're doing at Norfolk. You know what I mean? Like I just, but at some point, all of this is Elias is running this right now, and I'm not sure he's going to be in November either. You know what I mean? And I, all of the uncertainty beyond all of this, it becomes every man for himself. And I guess that's my tie in a knot 35 years on the radio way of saying, go get him, Ryan O'Hearn. Go make your money, bro. Go get your papers. Go sign with the last place team. Go sign with the Miami Marlins 4 years for $80 million or something. Go get paid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get 4 years, 80 million, but he's going to get, presumably, he's going to be dealt and he's going to have a chance to win, and that's going to be great. I mean, he's been in the playoffs with the Orioles the last 2 years, but that's it, everything you said about Elias. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, we don't know. He's the guy until he's not anymore, in the same way that Brandon Hyde was the manager until he wasn't anymore, right? So
Well, you
we're
and I
not.
are going to keep talking about spring training in the rotation next year. I'm telling you, in the clubhouse, it's what's on the back of my bubble gum card. I know there's no such thing.
Oh,
What am I hitting? What am I slugging? What am I
it is,
doing? It,
but
it's
that's
going to be
where.
a game of individual statistics the next 90 days that we look at them and say, who's good enough to make this team next year? And to your point, got to get in the, you got to get in to play. You got to play to show me something. All of these
Sure.
guys.
And that's where a sport like baseball, where yes, there is a team element, but it's very individualized, right? I mean, it's still the pitcher against the hitter.
It's tennis when you're up there.
Because when you hear things like that, and I don't disagree with your sentiment, but in football, that's when guys make business decisions, right? And things tend to really go off the rails. I mean, they're already in last
Well,
place.
that's
They're
why
already.
Zach Eflin may have thrown his last pitch. He might be making a business
Yeah,
decision.
I mean, but also, if you're him, you also want to show you're healthy, right? You want to get back on the mound and pitch, whether it's with the Orioles or whether he does end up getting dealt for whatever, right? So you do wonder about that a little bit, but to bring it back to O'Hearn, I mean, he's someone that they should be able to get a couple decent pieces that, whether it's a reliever, whether it's a starting pitcher that, would be a Dean Kramer kind of guy that you project to be in the next year or two, right? I mean, or who knows? I mean, maybe they do look for an outfielder. You've talked so much about wanting to trade Colton Cowser. I love how this has become our bit, right? I mean,
It is a bit. I mean, it's
yeah,
just I'm
exactly.
trying to
No,
find a
but
player they have that somebody else would want and say, I'll put him in my lineup and I'll give you a pitcher for him, or I'll give
well,
you something you really want
and
for him,
maybe it
whatever
becomes
that
it.
might be.
Maybe it becomes it's someone else's Heston Kjerstad that has kind of failed a little bit, but you really liked him in the draft a few years ago, and you say, yeah, we'll take that guy for Ryan O'Hearn because we think we might be able to turn him into the next Ryan O'Hearn, right? So you're always looking for those opportunities. And is it awkward because there's at least some semblance of uncertainty with Mike Elias? Sure, but at the same time, he wants to do a good job because he either wants to A, keep his job, or B, get his next job, right? So this is where you look at this and say, okay, go out and see what you can do to kind of restock the top of, triple A, let's say, triple A and double A, with some new pieces. It's not going to be someone that takes your farm system from middle of the pack to number one in baseball. It's not going to be that kind of trade deadline return,
I don't think they
but
philosophically start taking pitchers after 7 years unless Moneybags comes in and says, "My friends at the yacht club told me we should take more pitchers."
well,
You know what I mean? I mean, you and I saying they need to take more pitchers, I don't think it's their philosophy any more than the reverse split thing that we went through the other day. I
yeah.
mean, you and I are really getting down in the weeds with how awful this team is, and I wonder if we're boring the hell out of people or whether we're doing the best sports radio in the city, because there really is a point where, like, trying to get inside of their heads at this point is really the game, because this is a mess. It's with new ownership, with what they're doing with the stadium, with the offseason, with their payroll, with their revenue stream, with what they're trying to front face with the community, what they're doing with their television network. The fact that we're talking about they definitely don't have a number one next year. They definitely don't have a number two next year. We think Dean Kramer's their ace on opening day right now. I mean,
I don't think that. I think, but I think he's a high floor guy that's going to be part of the rotation, right? Anyway, go ahead.
well, there's a lot of work to do here and a
Sure.
lot of uncertainty all the way
Well,
around. There really is, and nobody's owning it. They're not out in front of any of it in any way that gives me any confidence. As a fan, as a consumer, I think I said that when I was crapping on him 2 weeks ago. Before I'm sort of done crapping on him, if you can't tell. You're going on vacation. I'm having fun next week with some friends and having crab cakes around here. It's 4th of July. I mean, there's been a lot of really crappy years where they've been in last place, and it hasn't, dare I say, bothered me when the old man was
well, there
eating
were no
pudding.
expectations
Yeah,
then,
I
right?
mean,
I
like,
mean,
after 06 and I did the walkout, that was my way of saying, this is freaking hopeless. It's been a decade. I mean, at that point, it had been 13 years. After that, from the minute I met you know this, I never took them. I mean, you and I were sitting in Kansas City, they're playing in the ALCS. It was like a squirrel found a nut. At that point, and Buck Showalter and Manny Machado and Chris Davis found the fountain of Ritalin or whatever it was. And like, that was a miracle. This thing being reconstructed now that we're unsure of all the young players. I mean, to your point, if I own the team, I would push forward with all of these young one ones and all these players, and I would spend money on pitching and go after it that way. I don't think I would do it with Elias, but. And again, I've forgotten more about baseball than David Rubenstein's ever going to know. So when he sits in a room with anybody that knows baseball, I don't know who's in the room with him that he trusts other than Ripken. I mean, ain't it Rick Dempsey anymore? It's not Tom Davis. It's not Mike Flanagan. It's not Sid Thrift. I'm trying to think of all, Brady Anderson. I'm thinking of all the consigliere to these kooks. Now, put them all in line. Put Jacobs in with that, all of them. I mean, Edward Bennett Williams trusted Larry Lucchino, who knew what he was doing. So, a little bit. You got to find somebody who knows what they're doing. And if, yeah, I mean, that's going to be part of the rebuild. That's the biggest story for me, is who's picking the ingredients. Because it ain't David Rubenstein. It certainly is not the Whistler. It's not Greg Bader or Katie Griggs or Mark Fine. They better figure out the baseball side of this. And if they're going to trust Elias, you're going to get what you get. He's not going to draft pitchers the next week. He's not.
Well, but I've also pointed out to you that, I mean, first of all, drafting pitchers in the first round probably isn't a great investment. So, but there's nuance to this. And I've even acknowledged, I mean, I went through and did this. I'm showing it on the video screen, not that people are going to be able to read it, but I went through and looked at all the pitchers that they've drafted going back to 2019. And I think I did it through trying to look at like their first five pitchers that they drafted.
Hold that back up again. I want to see that again.
I mean,
Because
well, you're
the
talking about a
penmanship
former,
alone, but
we are
go
talking about
ahead.
a former teacher here. So,
I
I
know.
do have
I
decent
just
handwriting.
I want to show my audience.
But I will say, in fairness to Mike Elias, if you look over their first 3 years compared to over the last three drafts, have they started to emphasize drafting pitching a little bit more? Sure, because you're seeing more pitchers taken in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Whereas the first 2019, they didn't take a pitcher till the eighth round. 2020 was the COVID draft. I mean, that was weird. They took Carter Baumler in the fifth round. He's had injuries throughout his career. 2021, they did take a pitcher in the fifth round. But if you look over the last 3 years, there has been more of an emphasis than there had been. Does that mean it's enough? Well, we're gonna have to see, right? I mean, typically, if you're talking about drafting guys in 22, 23, 24, for most of those guys, we're still kind of entering the period where you're going to find out, right? They do have some guys in their system. Are any of them Grayson Rodriguez in terms of how they're heralded and viewed by Baseball America? No, but we're going to see how it plays out. In fact, they just had he's 18 years old, just had a pitcher that's in their system that was international signing. I want to bring up his name. I don't have his name memorized off the top of my head, so I'm going to bring it up on social media. But he just cracked Baseball America's top 100. Has a real live arm, but he's 18, so he's a ways away. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. But his name is Esteban Mejia. That's his name. But
Esteban Yam was my favorite Esteban
so,
of all
but
times.
so it's not as though there are no names whatsoever. But is there anyone that's coming around the corner, right? That's going to help out to that degree? You know, that's where you look at it and say, probably not. I mean, he's 18. I've seen a couple Baseball America types say that he has a ceiling that he could be a number one starter, but probably 4 years from now, right? So that's not helping you right now. And obviously, he has a long way to go if he's going to stay healthy. But you know, he's done a night. He's got a 2.25 ERA in the Florida Coast League. You know, the down a. In rookie ball level. So great. You know, it's not as though they're not doing anything on the pitching side, but boy, they've got a lot of work to do. And that's why I kind of look at Dean Kramer and say, all right, you can trade him, but how are you replacing him on top of the three other guys you need to sign? So my point on that is if you're going to, you have to feel like you're getting surplus value. You're getting more value than what you think Dean Kramer is worth. And as a team dealing for that. I mean, think about what Dean Kramer is. He's not someone that you're identifying as a contender is identifying and saying, yeah, we want him to start game two of a playoff series. No, he's a guy that you want to fill out the back of your rotation with because he's going to take the ball and be relatively dependable. He's going to give you a sub four ERA probably and kind of be that. That's not necessary. That's someone that comes out of the bullpen in a playoff series, right? So my point with him, you know, just to go back to that, is he's probably more valuable to the Orioles right now than a potential contender, you know, as far as what a contender would actually give you for him. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's a long explanation for, okay, I think they've recognized a little bit here and there that they have to emphasize pitching more, but that's not enough, right? I mean, they still have to do way more. They still have to figure out what this is going to look like. And, you know, to even go back to your trade premise, you know, in terms of trading for pitching, that's where I'd say, you know, Couser or whoever, right? Whoever. If you're going to do that kind of a deal, I almost feel that might be something maybe you see over the winter. You know, maybe that's something that's the kind of move where, you know, you do trade a member of the young core and you go, you know, you get a pitcher who maybe isn't a number one, but is a guy that's a number two. You know, I'll throw a name that's just an example right now because I've heard, I even saw MLB Network did a segment on him. Sandy Alcantara, the pitcher for the Marlins, who is back from Tommy John surgery this year, statistically has not had a good season. I mean, he's been better of late, but he has an ERA that's just under seven. But you're talking about someone who's a two-time All-Star. He's only 29 years old. The thought is he's going to be better at getting further and further away from Tommy John surgery, which he had, what, in 2024, 23, whenever it was. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that right now, like you look at his numbers, you'd say, but if you have a belief that he's going to continue to get better and he comes and gets a fresh start, gets out of Miami, even though the Marlins just had an 8-game winning streak. But he's the kind of guy that I've seen. Some teams are, you know, some speculation that even a contender could kick the tires on.
Allen was all about that
Yeah. So,
last week.
and I'm not saying that, but he's a guy that might end up being a deal that comes to fruition in the winter, right? Because part of that is there's also contractual control for him, where I think he signed what? He signed a 5-year, $56 million deal back, I think it was back in 2021, whatever it was. But he's under team control for another year, and then there's a team option for 2027. So you're talking about someone who has 2 years of team control that, I think the Marlins are going to ask for a lot because
That's
he's
where
not.
Couser comes into play, bro.
Sure.
You ask me where Couser comes in,
Sure.
that's where Couser comes in.
But are you going to trade Colton Couser for a guy who has a 7 ERA right
Maybe
now?
not.
I mean,
Maybe not.
I'm just saying, and I think that's where Alcantara might be a guy that maybe he finishes out the year with Miami. Teams see how he pitches over the next couple months, and then you're talking about that. And I don't know if it would be Colton Couser, but it might be one of the other names that we've talked about. So we'll see how that plays out. But I will also say that if you're trading from the core, okay, well then you've got to replace whoever that, again, you trade Colton Couser, fine. You need another outfielder then. Because right now he profiles to be your likely starting center fielder on opening day next year. I mean, so there's value there that you have to replace. So they've got a lot to do. I mean,
All right, so I got to ask you this here because you held this thing up. I have since shared it on the internet because I found it to be so fascinating that you broke down the pitchers. And I said, you took us back to school today. And I'm trolling all the way around because you're going away for 10 days and leaving me here with a last place baseball team that I don't want to watch. But I looked on this thing. Do the Orioles have a Nestor in their organization?
they
I see
do.
a Nestor German in
Come
your
on.
handwriting here, and it has forced me to find a new favorite player.
Nestor
So.
Herman, yeah.
Herman. I
I
called him German.
I'm
I'm
trying
the
to
Hispanic guy. This, when ice comes, that'll just prove that I'm legit. I can't even pronounce Herman.
He
So
so right now this season he is split
he's at
between
Bowie, right?
between Aberdeen and Chesapeake, Bowie.
That's Bowie, right?
Yeah, it's Chesapeake now, which I've messed that up all year long. He's got decent numbers. I mean, I think he's 23 right now. Does he have a shot to be in the
But in
conversation?
all fairness, your list in your handwriting, as I look at this is literally if you're Mike Elias writing out everybody in the organization, where they came from, where their pipeline, like all of that, and where they are and what they're counting on, you don't really have anything in the pipeline right now that you project even onto the major league roster next year.
Yeah, I
Because
mean,
that's how dry it really is. And amongst all of these names, they're just dudes. Every organization has 50 Ryan Ripkins. No offense
sure.
to Ryan Ripken, but like that's just dudes hitting two something something and something something somewhere who are 20 something, making 20 something a year. And, I just wanted to root. We haven't had a lot of Nestors. Can I just enjoy? Did you get Lukes? There's a
That's
lot of
fine.
Lukes. There's Joneses everywhere. There's an Adam Jones, a Mr. Jones. There's not a lot of Nestors. So let me root for Nestor Herman, even
Yeah,
though I called him Nestor German.
and that's fine. I mean, like I said, I mean they have. It's not as though they have no pitchers whatsoever. But how many of those guys project to be? First of all, for next year, and you kind of look at next year. I mean, really, what you're looking at for next year is more so on the position player side. Basayo, a guy that we haven't talked about that we could see before the season's out because he's played very well at Triple A. And to go back to your trading Colton Couser fantasy that you have. Dylan Beavers, has put up really nice numbers at Triple A. He could be part of their outfield. I mean, we could see him before the year's out. I mean, we depending on who they might trade over the next month and what their roster looks like the rest of the year. But yeah, you kind of look at the pitching right now, and there are a couple interesting names here and there. Like Nestor Herman right now is their number 10 prospect. If you look on MLB Pipeline,
Is
you
he
look at,
really? He's made the
yeah,
top 10?
he is. But that
Dude,
also.
I'm on his Instagram right now. Don't get me started. I'll fanboy now. He's Nestor German German Herman.
Herman.
People in Dundalk are listening. It's Heritage
I
Fair weekend.
gotcha.
Nestor German 24. He's got 1,081 followers. He's going to have 1,082 in a minute. He's from Seattle, Washington, and he's a good-looking young ball player. Good-looking player. He's got a pretty girlfriend overlooking Seattle. Looking right-handed pitcher wearing a Seattle U. Here he is right here, dreaming a little bit. He's using a Wilson glove. I was more of a Rawlings guy, but he's wearing Houston Oiler blue in when he played his college ball,
You're
blue and
excited
red.
about this. I like it.
Looks like Lansdowne High School out there.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, he's pitching
I'm
pretty
trying to
well.
find somebody, something that they look at. I
No,
don't
it's fine. He's been solid. Like that, we'll see.
know.
I
All
mean,
right, let's run a
he's
bus trip down to Chesapeake and see him. Boo him.
yeah, he's been there since mid-May, and he's got okay numbers. I
Get a
mean,
crab
we'll
bomb at
see.
Jerry's over
Maybe he's
here.
someone that's in the picture by halfway through next year or something like that. I mean, we'll see. I mean,
All
I don't
right.
think, he's not someone with ace potential, but this
Well, when they give
team
me my
needs
credentials
pitchers.
back this offseason, when Cal fixes things, because I know he will, in Sarasota, I'm going to be on the backfields watching Nestor Hermann do his thing. So there, I
It'd
want to
be
learn
really
more
fun.
about this kid.
It'd be really funny if it wasn't Hermann and it actually was German, but I'm pretty sure it's Nestor Hermann. I mean,
All right,
that's
Luke Jones is Pennsylvanian. He's going to be Jerseyan this week. Last place, it's over with. Go on vacation, walk the sands. Eat bad food. Enjoy your nieces. To make sure they don't get any sand in their mouth. I know they're little, so protect them, man. Make sure they get SPF 50. Your sister will be all into that. But have a good time with your family. Luke Jones can be found nowhere for the next 10 days. Don't bother him until the Home Run Derby. And when you get back, we get my favorite all-time event, the Home Run Derby. And O'Horn's going to be in it, right? He's like lobbying, right?
I would hope so. I mean, it sounds like they're having issues, or they're having some issues with getting some of the top guys to do it. He has flat out said, "I'll do it." I
Man.
mean, it was great. He talked yesterday, or talked on Wednesday when he was picked, and you could tell how excited he is about this. I mean, good for him. As
Good.
much as this season has been terrible, it's good to see him at least, have be a bright spot.
I was in
And
Chris Hoyles' locker when he got screwed many years ago, and the disappointment. And guys got disappointed, and other guys would. Cal knew he was going to. And it was just rolled off. It was obligation for a lot of guys at that point, even 30 years ago. It's refreshing. I like it. It's good.
yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a good story in what's been a lousy season. So good for Ryan O'Hearn. I'm with you. I hope he's in the Derby, and I'm hoping all that, for the Orioles' sake, leads to potentially being able to deal him off to a contender, and they can get a couple nice pieces in return. And who knows? Maybe you re-sign him in the offseason. You could have one of those scenarios that we saw the Orioles do that with Mike Bordick many once upon a time. So we'll see how it all plays out.
I am delighted to be sitting back for the 4th of July in search of gold watermelon, in search of peach cake, which I'm going to find some peach cake by the end of by sundown. By the time the sun sets here over East Baltimore, I'll have peach cake. The sun doesn't set over East Baltimore. I know that. Don't write to me about that on the internet. It's an inside joke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. The Ravens will be in training camp when Luke Jones comes back. We're Baltimore positive.